Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, Decorating Your Desk, Part 2. Here we go. Your desk is seen by other people. Make the sight of it inspire professionalism in you so that you work hard, and make it inspire professionalism in other people about you. Now look, folks, there is strong evidence that people are more productive and work more effectively from home when they get dressed and work appropriate attire, all right? So those of you trying to be effective working from home on your sofa dressed in pajamas are kidding yourselves. Probably kidding yourself. Get up, shower, get dressed, and sit at a desk which is decorated as if other people will see it, and we suspect your productivity will rise. Okay? Now, all this said, professionalism, let's be clear. I mean, I know there's a killjoy factor here, but professional, as we apply to desks, doesn't mean express your individuality. We're sorry, but the bald truth is this. You can express your individuality or you can express your professionalism. If you want to be successful, the choice is clear. Express your professionalism. That said, within the confines we've given you, I can get a good sense of your individuality by the pictures you choose and the plant and the other pictures you choose and so on.
It's true. If you think about, there's a particular friend of mine, not you, another friend, and I go over his house and it is a flipping mess.
Yeah.
I've got to move stuff off his couch to be able to sit down.
Ooh, creepy.
The floor
is a little bit of creepiness there?
A little bit of creepiness. The floor is completely covered. There's not a bare table surface anywhere in the entire house. Now Frank, like it's not really dirty. It's not filthy. It's just messy. And I'll tell you what, I've made some assumptions about his life and about his professional career.
Right.
I don't work with him. I never work with him.
Right.
And from what I know, it's true. He's as disorganized at work as he is at home, and it hurts him.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize it.
Yeah, exactly. So look, like it or not, I know it's kind of awkward to talk about somebody's home, but your desk, your cube, your office is like that person's house. If it's not professional, the people who see it wonder about your professionalism in other areas. We do. We do, folks. When we walk into a cube that's got stuff piled up on the floor, we wonder. If you then walk by your cube and your shirt tail is untucked or your shoes are scuffed and maybe your ensemble, your work ensemble isn't as sharp as somebody else, we notice, okay? You may say, well, that's not related to my results. Look, I'm happy to throw everything away that I just saw if your results are notably better than everybody else's. But if you're in the middle of the road with your results and your desk is a mess and you don't put yourself well together to come to work, I've got concerns. Okay, the person whose cube has 18 stuffed toys in it gives an impression of childness. Okay, so we then take an extra moment to look at their reports for evidence of childishness in their writing or their conclusions. And human brains being what they are, we like to find things we're looking for and we're likely to find them. Please don't let people start down this path when they look at your desk. Keep it professional. So they're looking for professionalism in other aspects of your work.
They'll find that as well.
And then they'll find that. Exactly right.
Good. Okay. Point two, be moderate. What do you mean by that?
You know, in America, it's don't be Republican, don't be Democrat. Just be moderate.
No, I thought that's what you're
72 degrees. That's what it's all about, right? Well, look, as a general rule, the bigger the space, the more you can have in it. That doesn't mean if you have a big office, you can have 110 toy penguins on top of every bookshelf, right? Every time you look up from your desk, your brain has to take in the item that's there, that it was there before, that it's not moved, it's not a threat, somebody else hasn't been in your office moving stuff around. The more stuff you have in your space, the more brain cells are used during this exercise. Now look, folks, there are those of you who are listening right now who are saying, but wait, I like a lot of stuff. Here's our answer to that. We don't care, okay? We don't care that you like that stuff. We're not asking you to create an office that you like. We're asking you to create an office that's professional, and then within the realm of professionalism, find one that you can like. First, one you can live with, and then one ideally you can like, okay? The fact that you like all that stuff doesn't mean it's helpful to your brain processes. I'll say again, executive attention deficit disorder. How many executives with ADDs that take to screw in a light bulb? And the punchline of that joke is, want to go ride bikes? You are constantly distracted by your penguins, by your books, by your tombstones, by all kinds of other things. And please don't send me a note and say I sounded morbid. If you don't know what tombstones are from the financial industry, don't send me a note. They're actually a real thing in lots of people's offices. The more stuff you have in your space, the more brain cells are used when you look up to your office. It's autonomic. You can't stop it. So instead, limit the amount of stuff you have. Save your brain cells for the difficult stuff.
Yeah, that whole visual distraction stuff. I know that's, isn't that the reason why you close your eyes when you're talking to clients on the phone?
It is. And you know, people just laugh at me. They absolutely laugh at me. You and I were just on a phone with a client. We were four of us on the phone, and you were in D.C., I was in Texas. We had somebody on the phone in London and somebody on the phone in Australia, and there was a bit of a challenge in terms of hearing, and I was at my desk with my elbows on my desk and my head down and my hands on the sides of my eyes trying to make tunnel vision with my eyes closed, because if I didn't totally focus, I not only couldn't hear, I couldn't understand, and then I couldn't get to the nuances, I couldn't get to the subtleties, the pause, and so on. If I'm looking at my bookshelf or my inbox, or heaven forbid, you know, I've got two big monitors in front of my desk, and they're easily distracting, right? It's just, you look at that, and it takes CPUs, it takes clock cycles in your brain. So, look, phone conversations are hard enough, and so if I'm looking at something else, I'm not focusing on the person I'm on the phone with. Simple as that.
Good point.
So look, we want to say again what we said earlier. This goes to the whole issue of be moderate. There's got to be space on your desk to work. And we'll mention this again during Be Tidy, right? Your desk exists for a reason. Anything which contradicts the work that's supposed to be done at your desk has to be considered as coming from the enemy's camp somewhere, right? If somebody came in and decided to mess with the desk, they just mush everything into the middle and say, ha-ha, right? You'll spend 15 minutes digging out from under the next morning. You've got to have a minimum area. We've already defined that, you know, 24 or ideally 36 wide by 18 and ideally 24 deep. That's always, always, always free of clutter. If you're an American football fan, think of it as the red zone. You better have good stats while you're in it, right? If you're just a plain old football fan, the world's game, it's the penalty area. Don't get caught breaking the rules in the penalty area or it'll hurt you. Right? The red zone, the penalty area, does not include your keyboard and mouse. We see this all the time. People create a space and then put their keyboard and mouse right in the middle of it. Work gets done in ways that are separate from email or typing or PowerPoint or what have you.
Now, you mentioned I can't have my 12-volume set of Dilbert on my desk. How about, I'm a technical guy. I got a lot of technical books. How about books? Is that okay?
Yeah, books are absolutely included in what we call essential equipment. Sure, books are good. I have the Effective Executive on my desk. But look, that doesn't mean you need 45 technical manuals in your cube. And I have to say something. You know, we really bow to the folks, those high C's that have a neat, proper, tidy desk. And the high I's laugh at them a little bit and say, oh, you know, you don't, you know, your desk is kind of blah, whatever. But then you see the high C that's got every technical manual for the last six years. Right? Or he's got a DOS manual from 1993. It's like, oh, okay. You know, really? He says, yeah, I go back and review that every once in a while.
You never know when you might need to look up the, you know, what interrupt 13 is. You
right,
know, you
exactly.
Never know. It could happen.
Yeah. And so, right. I have a never ending do loop on that one. You might think you're being seen as thorough, but at some point it sends a message that you're a hoarder. And hoarding is not, now hoarding has become a TV show, which is not a good thing. The only things you need on your desk are the things you use daily. And look, I'll give you an example of how serious I am about this. I have two drawers. I actually have three drawers in my desk. I have two smaller ones for supplies on my right side, and then one file drawer on my left, maybe only 12 inches deep. And then I have a file cabinet right near my desk. My stapler used to be in my top right-hand drawer. And I remember opening the drawer and moving my stapler to get at things, pens and ink cartridges and so on. And then I realized after like 6 months, I don't use my stapler but about once a month. So it went in the second drawer. I mean, I literally demoted it to the second drawer. The stapler community is probably upset at me about that. That was a way of me saying I open the top drawers for stuff I use all the time, every day. And the second drawers for stuff I use less often, but I don't want to have to walk across the office to get it. So I'm willing to be that perfectionist, if you will, about making sure the space at which I work is going to be as clear and as helpful to me as it possibly can be. And if you have an enormous office with space for a large bookshelf, then fine. You can have as many books as fit on the shelves. And my prime problem is like we get mailed books now that people want us to review, and I read them and don't review them because they won't like my review. But you know my office. And in fact, I'm sure we'll post pictures of my office, and there's lots of books on the wall. And I thought before, thanks to the Kindle and the iPad, that maybe I'll get rid of all my books. But I do like
Hasn't happened
books.
Yet.
Yeah. Okay, and look, let's say something else. You mentioned about too many books. A professional desk never includes anything stacked on the floor. That's, you know, the whole idea of moderateness.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
If you have things stacked on the floor, it's
right.
a good sign that you have too much.
Exactly. You're right. It is a good sign that you have too much. You need to start getting rid of that stuff, and that means throwing it away. Or find an unused shelf somewhere nearby. Put a note on it saying, this stuff belongs to, and then put your name. Please ask me before you toss it. And look, if you haven't looked at it in 3 months, if you haven't looked at any of it in 3 months, throw it all away, donate that space to somebody else to fill up with their useless stuff. And think about the definition of useless. It means stuff that gets used less, right? And if you haven't looked at something in 3 months, you don't need it anywhere near your desk, right?
It's hard for many of us.
Yeah. And now this is, we certainly adopt this from GTD, from getting things done right. Use files, use folders. If you do have 85 telephone call lists pinned to your walls and you do use them all the time, put them in a folder and put the folder on your desk. Doing this removes the mental distraction from the walls. You can have the folder open when you're working on it, when you need it, but it's totally easy to close it and move it out of the way when somebody comes by or when you're working on something else, which doesn't require you to look up a phone number. We'd also suggest you mark the top of each list you use as you use it for a month. Any that don't have a mark at the end of the month, throw away or file somebody somewhere else other than on your desk. Having too many lists that you got to go through to find the one you want slows you down, and you're not using them often enough to warrant the space or the visual cortex processing it takes to note that they're there all the time. And by the way, that works particularly well for computer screen real estate as well. That's for a different cast. I'm right now trying out, I don't want to say anything yet, but I'm right now trying out a process that if I haven't used a particular application for 5 minutes, it goes away. It's going to help me with, even though I try real hard about email, to drop mail away from, to drop it in, on the Mac into the dock. So it's not available. I have to go down and choose to click on it.
Right.
It's just an extra small burden. So
Three times a day.
Yeah, 3 times a day is the way to do mail. Right.
Okay.
I know you do that, so you're my hero in that regard. Okay, now look, it was something else too about folders. People say, well, I like to express my individuality in file folder colors. Okay. If you don't like the folders that are in the cupboard, in the stationary cupboard at your office, you want to color a style which makes you feel happy, totally fine.
So Hello Kitty stickers all over the folder.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a point at which cute probably doesn't inspire confidence and trust. But if you want them red and green and blue, and I think actually David Allen might recommend something like that. Maybe not. Then it's okay. But different colors is not unprofessional. And I have talked to a C-suite level executive officer who chided me for my portable Dymo label printer, which is, I know, something that David Allen recommends, because he's actually got a label printer on his desk and he showed it to me. This is a C-suite level person for a Fortune 100 company who is unfortunately sort of between admins, and he literally prints his own labels, and the thing prints in 2 seconds. So we're going to have to get one of those for me.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Make you feel better.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
One thing I found is I remember one particular day looking at my office and feeling a little overwhelmed in all the piles of folders. They have loose papers, but they're folders. But I had a lot of folders, way too much. This is in my pre-organizational days. And I walked into my boss's office. And his office was the neatest desk I've ever seen in my life. There was not a single piece of paper on his desk. There was nothing on his desk.
Right.
It was blank. This guy was the most effective executive in the entire company. And if you walked into his office, you would have thought that that office was not being used, that nobody occupied that office.
Right.
Yet he produced more than any other executive in the department.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
even
though there are going to be some exceptions, if you go a couple levels up at some point, you know, if you look at VP, particularly if you're EVP or SVP level, something like that, and for those of you who aren't American, that's executive vice president or senior vice president, generally a level or two below C-suite level stuff, COO, CLO, CMO, CEO, those kinds of things, the top one or two rungs of large organizations, you're going to find that they reach the point at which they realize adding more stuff in a bigger space to their office didn't help.
Yeah.
And they realized it was hurting, and they just finally broke down and said, to heck with it. And they went in the opposite direction and said, I'm going to worry about one thing at a time. And, of course, what does Drucker say? One thing at a time, right? So if you look up, find somebody who's a couple levels up, and follow their lead, somebody you respect, somebody you admire. You know, Wendy will tell you that she visited the office of an IP lawyer, very well respected in the organization she worked for, shocked to see no carpet and not one surface in this person's office because it was all of it was covered in paper. She could not see carpet. She could not see surface because it had paper. Not really neatly stacked, but just kind of strewn around. We see that when we work with investment bankers, right? They print out all these decks decks and their decks are being marked up. And I'm sorry. People say, I know where everything is. I'm like, no. And look, I've done it before. I've gone into their office after they left, came back to get my phone or whatever, and opened up the fourth stack on the third chair and found a deck on, you know, buyout of X by Y. And I said, hey, can you find me the buyout of X by Y? He's like, yeah, it's here somewhere. I'm like, oh, okay, so you can't really know where everything is. Yeah. Now, the exceptions to this rule that we're asking you to be neat and tidy and professional and so on, those exceptions are like the arrogant producers we talked about in the Manager Tools cast. So bright, so exceptional, and produce such results that they get away with violating the corporate norms. Think, though, how much more exceptional they could be if they had an office which inspired respect or could effectively work with people in a team. And I got to tell you, if you're the CEO and you've got that IP lawyer working for you, you're going to think, could I promote him to be a VP? Probably not, right? Can he manage 10 other people? Not if he can't manage his own desk. And Drucker talks openly about managing oneself. So, look, if you have doubts, if you have concerns, if you're wondering what the limits are for something that we haven't been specific about, you can also come to the forums, ask us, we'll tell you. Send us pictures if you like. We'll help you straighten things out as best we can. Now, the medicine may be a little bit strong for some of you, and we'll be right. Even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Point three, be tidy. I mean, how difficult can this be? I mean, what else do we need to say about it, right?
Yeah, I think we've already touched on it a good bit, right?
Don't we know what tidy means, right? Just keep your desk tidy.
Okay, but let's be clear about something, right? I think there are people who think their desk is tidy because things are in stacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not tidy, right? If you see lots of paper sticking out from your file folders, that's not tidy. A tidy file folder is one where you can't see paper. If there's more than three or four file folders stacked on top of one another, and there are more than 10 or 15 pages in each one of those file folders, your desk does not appear tidy. If things aren't lined up neatly, it doesn't appear tidy. Now, if you think we're the perfectionist police, we're not. We're asking you to see your desk through the eyes of other people who are going to draw conclusions about your desk. And they're not going to draw the conclusion that you want about you being an individual because they don't want you to be an individual. They want you to be a producer. They want you to be professional. They want you to be relevant to the organization's mission because, again, the mission paid for the desk that you're keeping in an untidy way. And I would argue that if you could pick any three people in your organization, all walk into any office with them, and we will agree 90% of the time on what's tidy and what's not. And it has nothing to do with the owner of the desk saying, I know where everything is.
Right. Yeah. The key point is, what's the perception of other people?
Yeah.
In terms of when they walk into your office, do they think you're tidy? And if people routinely could walk into your office and not walk away with the impression it's being tidy, that it is tidy, It's not tidy.
Exactly right. Yeah. Tidy is what you would want your desk to look like if you had a picture taken in your office and you dressed for the occasion. Yeah. Mm. So, but look, let's talk about why, though. For those people who are wondering, let's talk about why. Look, first, security reasons, right? In many offices, there are clean desk policies, meaning that every piece of paper has to be off the desk, locked away overnight in case of a break-in or a crisis. Even if this isn't policy in your company, it's a good idea. It's easier to comply with a security reason like that if you have a tidy desk to start with. And it's easier to put away five files in a random stack of mixed papers. What's amazing is the companies that have security policies that say you can't have stuff out on your desk and it has to be locked away. They have the same number of untidy people working for them that the other companies do, but everybody puts everything away every day. How is that possible? Apparently, it's for compliance reasons. And those people who are untidy pull some stuff back out and put it on their desk, but they're able to put it away every day. So apparently, an untidy person can meet a minimum standard of tidiness. So, yeah. Oh, look, and cleanliness, too. We've heard people complaining that cleaners don't clean desks and offices anymore.
How could they do it if your desk is full of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Mostly, they're not allowed to move stuff. They don't know what you're working on. So if you want your desk to be clean for you, you have to leave some desk space for them to clean. And look, if they don't clean desks in your office, please do it yourself occasionally. Otherwise, yuck, right? For image, look, you should do it for image reasons. We're back to professionalism again. We know, sorry, we're going to be the professionalism police today. We know the sayings, messy desk, messy mind, and the counter, empty desk, empty mind. But neither one of those things is true. A tidy desk with visible organization and structure implies you're working in a tidy, structurally correct, and an organizationally reasonable way, right? And that inspires trust and confidence in other people, from other people about you.
And there's a good reason, because those people who have neat desks, neat offices, are in fact more effective.
Yeah. You work better when you have space on your desk to write a note rather than having to move a pile of paper first. You work better when you don't have to attend to your stuffed toy collection or try not to play with your executive toys, right? I think better when it's messy is never true. Okay. It makes you feel good, but it's not the part of your brain that makes you think clearly or make decisions or draw rational conclusions and so on. And even if we were to indulge you and say it is, it doesn't give a good impression of you to other people. So learn to think with a tidy desk. And I have to tell you, in the last 25 years, the single biggest increase in the complexity of our desks is those darn computer screens. And I'm amazed at people who have what amounts to filthy desks. I don't mean in terms of filth, but I mean just in terms of piles of stuff that's old and dusty. I mean, look, if we find dust on the back of your desk on either side of a pile of stuff, it's like, no, you haven't touched that thing in weeks. You're not doing it. Put that thing away, right? Even if it's in the bottom drawer that you're not going to touch for a month. But it's amazing. Their desks are all messy, and yet they've learned the one thing about email is don't respond to the toast, right? Don't let the little Microsoft thing come up saying you've got mail, don't pay attention to it. And of course, there are plenty of people whose desks are messy and answer every single email the moment it comes in, and they like being distracted. There's a famous baseball joke about Willie Stargell when he was playing for the Pirates in the 70s, was asked, You know, Willie, is it hard? They'd finished a two-game homestand, and they had to get on a plane that night and fly all night for a game the next day or whatever because, of course, and the reporter had always covered American football and not baseball. In American football, there was the time, there was maybe 12 or 13 regular season game, but in baseball, there's 165 regular season game. And they said, well, Willie, isn't it kind of frustrating that you have to get on the plane late at night? You're probably tired, and, you know, you didn't have a chance to rest after the game. And he says, hey, look, man, they don't call this work ball. They, at the beginning of the game, they say, play ball, right? It's a game, right? And they're playing it. On the other hand, what we're talking about here to you in your career, and for those of you who are managers who are listening, for you managers, this is work, okay? It's not a game. We're not trying to make your desk make you feel good. We're trying to make your desk be a place where you produce exceptional results for your organization. That means professional. That means moderate. That means tidy. Being professional means caring about the details. It means following up. It means making sure your reports are right. It means thinking before you talk and act. It means considering the company in terms of your individual needs. It means setting the right image, not just in terms of your company's advertising, but in terms of how you run your desk. It means helping other people to have trust and confidence in you. And a tidy, simply decorated desk is just part of being a professional. People don't pay enough attention to it. It won't take you that long, but within a half an hour, probably late one day, you can become very quickly professional, moderate, and tidy in your workspace, and we encourage you to do so.
Awesome. Thanks, my friend.
My pleasure, partner.
All right, man. We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you all again next week. Hey, if you haven't come to the discussion forums lately, please join us there. www.manager-tools.com/forums. Hope to see you there. So long.